Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Gino Chan, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome.
Acolyte. It's a strange word, isn't it? Acolyte. We borrow it from the Greek word akaluthos. Ooh, that one's lovely. Akaluthos. Akaluthos, which means to follow. Therefore, an acolyte is a follower. A follower of who, you might ask? Or whom, if you speak with proper English? I might respond, a follower of Jesus Christ. That's whom. Or who, if I spoke in proper English. So in a way, it's weird, but all Christians are acolytes since we are all followers of Christ, right? The word acolyte is also translated as helper or assistant, and that's probably the most common way we think of it here at church. The acolyte, helping out the pastor in the worship service. In fact, there are lots of things that the acolytes actually do. In some churches, they take care of the vestments or check that the sanctuary is ready before worship. They might carry the processional banner or assist the pastor with communion or baptism or make sure nobody else parks in the pastor's spot. The list goes on and on and actually on. But what is most often expected of the acolyte is the lighting of the candle before worship and the extinguishing of said candle after the service. You see, the acolyte brings the light of Christ, the light of the world, into worship, using it to light the candles that are most often at the communion table. It signifies Christ is present with us. Then, at the conclusion of the service, to demonstrate how the light of Christ never goes out, acolytes take that light with them as they leave out into the world. It's a symbol of us being the light of Christ in the world, a light that never goes out. If you'd like to learn more, ask your pastor. Tell them Chuck sent you.
Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Gino Chan, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome.
Want to do a magic trick? You can make a dollar stretch around the world. Every dollar put in the offering plate at your church breaks into 100 pennies. Those pennies travel all over the planet to help other people. 2 cents of every dollar you give supports what United Methodists call apportionment. The apportioned funds travel all over the world to build churches, teach pastors, send missionaries to tell people about Jesus, send students to college, and much, much more. The apportionment system makes those two little pennies huge. Another 6 cents goes to what United Methodists call designated gifts, the Advance, World Service Special Gifts, and Church-Wide Special Sundays with offerings. 7 more pennies help people in our district, annual conference, and jurisdiction. You or someone you know may have benefited from a confirmation rally, a church camp, leadership training, or a new church start. So, what happens to the other 85 pennies? They stay at home, right in your own church. Because of those pennies, you have a place to worship, a pastor and other people to lead, hymnals for singing, Sunday school books for learning, fun things to do in vacation Bible school, and much, much more.
Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Gina Chun, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email, or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome.
Ways churches can support our military and veterans. Alpharetta First United Methodist in Georgia collects Oreo cookies and handwritten notes for U.S. troops all over the world. Over a decade, they've shipped 30 tons of Oreos. Boy Scouts at St. Mark's United Methodist in Lincoln, Nebraska set up 100 American flags around the church and take them down at dusk on Memorial Day, Flag Day, Independence Day, Patriot Day, and Veterans Day. Some churches encourage their congregations to foster the pets of deployed men and women in the military through organizations like Dogs on Deployment. The Reverend Will Shuey and Shades of Grace United Methodist Church in Kingsport, Tennessee pay burial expenses and offer funerals for homeless veterans. Members of Coriopolis United Methodist Church in Pennsylvania deliver Thanksgiving meals to first responders and those working the holiday at the nearby Pittsburgh Air Reserve Station. St. Paul United Methodist in Abilene, Texas has a special Sunday school class for veterans. Lead pastor, the Reverend Felicia Hopkins, is a veteran herself. How does your church support veterans and active members of the military?
Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Gina Chun, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email, or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome.
Jesus, Father, we give you praise and thanks for this holy communion, the body and blood of your beloved Son. The body is broken, God's love poured open to make us new. Lord, make us new. Abba, Father, we bless your name and take part in this holy communion. Make us all one. To love like your Son. The body is broken, God's love.
Morning. Welcome you all to the worship service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church this morning. My name is Jinu Chan. I'm the lead pastor of this wonderful community of faith. Can we tell God this morning, God, good morning. I love you so much. I'm so grateful you are with me and you are holding me up with your loving and mighty hands. Can we say this, God? Go ahead. God, I love you so much. I'm so grateful you are with me. Thank you for holding me up with your mighty hands, with your loving hands. Yes, God is with us here this morning. And God is holding us up with God's mighty hands and loving hands. Amen. Amen. Let us take a moment of silence and acknowledge God's full presence with us this morning.
Gracious God, as we celebrate this day of independence, let us always remember that we are dependent on you. We are your servants. Help us to always depend on your unfathomable love for us. We are your servants. Let us come together to worship you. We are your servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please arise in spirit and or in body. Let us sing America the Beautiful. Let us sing America the Beautiful. It's in the navy blue book. See, I don't have the page number here. What's the name? 696. The page number 696 in the navy blue book, the UN hymnal, America the Beautiful.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, JoJo. How are you?
Yes, I'm great. I just went to baseball camp.
You just went to baseball camp. Is there anything about baseball camp that was really, 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 really fun?
Playing the actual game.
Playing the game?
Freeze pop breaks, which is good.
The freeze pop breaks are definitely, that's something to remember for sure.
You know, Mr. Josiah, that I believe in you. What does that mean? Does it mean that I believe you exist? That you're here? I believe you can do things. That's right. I believe that you have a lot of gifts. I believe that you have things to share with the world. I believe in you.
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying you, all the wonderful things that make you you, I know that when you go out to baseball practice, you're going to learn new things and you're going to grow and it's going to be really cool. And how does that feel? To know that mommy and daddy believe in you. Good. Yeah. And you believe in me?
Yes.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you were going to baseball camp, it really helps to know that somebody believes in you, is cheering you on, encouraging you. And when you live with somebody, and somebody's a part of your family, and they believe in you, that can be really powerful. But it could really hurt if it wasn't the case. So, when Jesus was the first beginning of ministry, he actually goes back to Nazareth in Galilee. And he sees old families and old friends and people that he knew there. But now, he has these disciples. Now he's beginning to teach. And he's teaching about things that they didn't really understand or seemed a little strange. When Jesus goes back to his hometown, they remember him as that little boy or as a younger person. And they also remember where he came from. And they're thinking, what are you doing? This isn't you. What you're talking about, that doesn't make any sense. And it sounds like you're saying stuff that's different and strange to us, and we're not going to listen to that because people don't like to change, really, if they don't have to. Do you know what it's called when God calls us to do something new? We might call it a call. There's also another word for it. It starts with a V, and it's a big, long word. So you ready? It's called vocation. A vocation, or a call, is when God calls us to do something. And do you know that we believe that God calls all of us to do something in God's kingdom? Did you know that? And I believe in you, which means I believe you'll find that call. But a call is the ways in which we can be a part of what God is doing in the world. And God believes in us and wants us to be a part of that and knows we can do it. And calls us to do things that we may not even realize we're able to do until we do it. But it helps to have a supportive community. And you can imagine how Jesus felt when he was rejected by his own community. It can really hurt if you don't have a supportive community to help us. But it helps to know that God always believes in us. So this message, in a lot of ways, is for us to remember, all of us to remember that we're all called by God and that God believes in us. But I also want to send a little message to the families of our young ones and to all of us who support and encourage our children and youth, as well as the rest of us. And that is, we all need community to support each other. Let's not be like Nazareth, who looked at what Jesus was doing in the world and was afraid of what he was doing because it was new and different. That didn't make sense to them because this was something that they had not seen before. Sometimes new things can be scary. But let's remember to support each other and to encourage, especially our young people, to follow their dreams and to follow their callings and to be who they are and to live that out as fully and as in life-giving ways as they can. So let's pray together for that. You ready? Dear Jesus, help us to support and love and encourage one another.
Dear God, help us to encourage and support one another.
To find their call.
To find their call.
Amen.
Amen. Have a wonderful week, everybody!
What did he say? Thank you.
Our readings this morning, our first reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 12 and 13. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said to them, "The scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." Our second reading is from the book of John, chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifice. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. Jesus made a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and cattle, scattered the money changers' coins all over the floor, and turned their tables over. Then going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." Then his disciples remembered this prophecy from the scriptures. "Passion for God's house will consume me." But the Jewish leaders demanded, "What are you doing? If God gave you the authority to do this, show us a miraculous sign to prove it." "All right," Jesus replied, "destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." "What?" they exclaimed. "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you can rebuild it in 3 days?" But when Jesus said this temple, he meant his own body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered he had said this, and they believed both the scriptures and what Jesus had said.
Amen. Okay, so in this scripture reading, what is happening here? Jesus enters into the temple, the holy place, and while he sees the angers of him, and he takes weevil cords, and he chases the money changers and those selling cattle and those out of the temple. Wow. And there are several different interpretations on these same passages. The first interpretation, the verse 16, "Stop making my father's house a place of business." So some churches prohibit any kind of selling and buying in the church buildings because they believe that's what God tells them to do through this Bible passage. The interpretation 2, verse 21, Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. So some churches emphasize on keeping our body healthy and holy. For example, "You shall not drink or smoke or you will go to hell." Have you heard about that? Yeah. Then interpretation 3. And I wanted to know why Jesus got this angry. What made him this angry, this furious? Let us first check what the money changers and merchants were doing in the temple courts. Many people traveled for days to make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So instead of bringing their own animals on the journey to sacrifice, they would buy them from the merchants at the temple courts right there. Before they could purchase the animals, they had to go through one more step. They had to exchange their money for local currency from the money changers in order to pay for the animals for sacrifice. So the merchants and money changers were at the temple providing goods and services to the people. Sounds good, huh? Then why was Jesus so angry at those money changers and merchants serving the worshipers? Because of their greedy and unjust practices. They manipulated the worshipper's passion for God to make more money. They were so corrupted that they were charging up to 100 times the markup on their goods and services. 100 times, can't you believe that? For example, if a dove normally costed $10, they were charging $500 or even more. Jesus got upset with them because they were cheating themselves and others. Jesus got sadly angry. Jesus got sadly angry because they gave up on the human dignity of themselves and others. They abused themselves by abusing their moral consciousness. They abused others by cheating them and manipulating their passion to worship God. Jesus got furious because they turned God's temple into a place of manipulating, cheating, and injustice. So the gospel according to Matthew says, Jesus said to them, "The scriptures declare my temple will be called a house of a prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." And at this point, Jesus took the idea of temple and he related it to his own body. I thought this was brilliant. As the temple meant a symbol of God's presence to the Jews, Jesus told them he was temple of God where God abided. Jesus was saying, "I am God's presence. Emmanuel, God with us." Jesus is the temple of God and we are the body of Jesus Christ. So, we are the temple of God as well. So, my life is something holy and I must treat it as something holy. I must treat my body, my mind, my emotions, and my soul, my whole being as something holy because God dwells in me and within my life. How do you treat your body, your life, and yourself? When God created us out of dust, God created us in the image of God, and there's something about us that reflects the divine creator. The Bible says that Jesus Christ abides in us and we are temples of holy God, holy divine. How do you treat your body, your mind, and your life, and yourself? Moreover, when the Bible says that we are God's temple, it also means that all of the people God created are holy. God wants me to treat every single one of the other human beings as a sacred being, a holy temple where God abides as well. If I can begin to see them as holy temples God dwells, I would begin to change the way in which I relate to them. How do you treat others, other God's holy temples? Do you treat your own life as a holy temple of God? Do you see others as the holy temples of God who must be treated with respect and love? How is our country doing with this? America the Beautiful, America, God shed God's grace on thee. America, what does God want us to do to make our country beautiful? Beautiful from God's eyes. God wants us to do all the things to recover the human dignity of all human beings and treat all as God's holy temples. When you see our flag, American flag, what do you see on it? Don't you think that this is the country Jesus made the lifetime commitment to build? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Throughout his life, Jesus showed that in God's kingdom, we honor God and treat other human beings and ourselves with justice and respect for all human dignity. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, wants us to honor God and treat other human beings and ourselves with justice and respect for all human dignity. That's what I see on our flag. Do you want to make Jesus angry as you abuse and manipulate yourself and others? Or do you want to please God, please Jesus Christ, as you live out Jesus' greatest commandment, which is love God and love neighbors as myself? What are you going to do with this God's good news this week? Our parents, God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing, long may our land to bright with the freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King. On this day, July 4th, we celebrate the freedom, the liberty. And it is so important to us. Then how about other countries' liberty and freedom? Do we as a country honor that? Let us honor God as the highest. Let us respect one another as the highest, the holy ones. Then we may experience the kingdom of God in this country, in our land, as it is in heaven. America the beautiful. Yes. God has called us to follow Jesus Christ and build God's kingdom on this land. God has called us to build a relationship with other countries with respect for their freedom and their liberty as well. America the beautiful. Yes. We are beautiful. Let us come back to the Lord and let us work together to build God's kingdom in this land as it is in heaven. God bless you. God bless America. Happy July 4th. Amen. Let us sing the hymn, America, My Country, This of Thee. The UMC hymnal, the Navy Blue Book, page 697. Page 697.
Sweet land of liberty, oh. The Lord be with you. The other day, I went to Boston, and the area where the roundabout is, near the Alewife station, you know, you can find the homeless people there all the time. At least I always see the homeless people, a couple of homeless people there. And I was on my way back home, and I got some bread in a bakery in Boston on that day. I personally don't usually give cash to people for my own reasons. But I had bread, so I opened the window, and I asked the sister, "I have some bread, do you want them?" And she said, "Yeah, breads are good." So I got some of the breads from the back, and I shared the bread with her. And I prayed, "God, please let her feel your love for her. At this point, her life circumstance doesn't look good. But Lord, please help her out. And Lord, there are so many people who are in need at this point. Fill our hearts with the compassion for them. It's not all about us. It's not all about me. It's all about you, Lord. And let your love be spread to all those who need to feel it." And I talked to my wife, Hwan, the other day. So we decided whenever we went to Boston, we go to Boston, we intentionally make effort to get some bread and during the summer maybe cold drinks and winter some hot drinks so that we can serve them on our way back home. Let us find ways to invite the people to sit around the Lord's table where there is full of love and care. Our food ministry is one of the ways. And all those ministries we do, it's all about God, God's love and care. As we celebrate and partake the Holy Communion this morning, we want to remember God is calling us. Yes, sit down with me. And also bring your friends too. Bring your neighbors and bring strangers to my table. I want them to experience my love and care. Would you join me in doing it? Awesome. Thank God. On the night before he died on the cross, Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive all our sins. He was having this Passover meal with his disciples. And he took bread. The first thing he did was give thanks to God. He acknowledged God right there. And gave thanks to the Lord, our God. And broke the bread and shared it with his disciples. Said, "This is my body, which is given for whom? Given for him, given for her. So give for all, give for you. Take and eat. And do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. And again, he gave thanks to God. And shared it with his disciples. Said, "This is my blood. It is given for you. For your forgiveness. And drink this. And remember every single time you drink it from it." Let us pray. Our gracious God, pour your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. And on this gift of bread and cup,
Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in Your holy church, all honor and glory is Yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now you break bread and share the bread and cup with those who are with you this morning. And if you are alone, we are with you in spirit. And let us share the cup and bread in the name of Jesus Christ. And when you share it, you may say, this is body of Christ given for you. And this is blood of Christ given for you. And this morning, I'd like to invite our sisters, Leslie and Suzanne, if you will, please come forward and let us celebrate the Holy Communion together. As a people of God who experience God's grace, the good news, and the Holy Communion, let us respond to God's grace together. Please join me in response to God's grace. God wants our love. God wants our love more than God wants our offerings. God cares about our hearts, not the amounts of our offerings. As we count all the blessings God has already given to us, we cheerfully give our offerings to God, the provider, with a grateful heart. Amen. Amen. It's time for prayers and praying together. You know, as I made the announcement for the last couple of weeks, the first Sunday of each month is our food Sunday. And we collect these foods and share them with our neighbors. Please join me in blessing the food and the people, our neighbors, together. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for being our provider. Thank you for our siblings who brought these foods to this place with a caring heart. Lord, we bless this food and we bless our neighbors who may receive these foods. Please let them experience your loving and caring heart. It's not just about foods. It's about your loving care. Continue to use us as your instruments, your agents, Lord. Yes, we are the body of Christ. Wherever we go, wherever we are, we want to bring His name, Jesus' name, His loving care to our neighbors. We bless our community, our neighbors, in the holy name, in the precious name, the powerful name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
As you may remember, now we are recording this service for the Sunday on July 4th. I cannot really get the prayer request on the chat, but still, you know, leave your prayer request in the chat, and we collect them, and we'll put them in the weekly prayer request list that we email you. So please put your prayer request in the chat. And also, you can always send your prayer request to the office so we can put them together in the weekly prayer list. And let us pray together. Let us pray together. I always carry the prayer request, you know, in my smartphone and look at them and pray for you. Please join me in doing it together. Yes, St. Matthew is a communion of prayer. And as I light the candles, let us take a moment of silence. If you have anyone who comes into heart and mind this morning, let us pray for them. And also let us pray for those who are being missed, those who are seeking for them in Florida after the building collapsed. And let us pray, continue to pray for the first responders as well. Let us pray. I have a prayer request to share with you this morning. Last week, June 25th, was the day the Korean War broke out about 7 years ago. As you may know, Korea is the only country that is divided on this planet. And I grew up with the pain, even though I am a post-war generation. My father's side, the family on my father's side, they came from the north part of Korea during the Korean War, as the war broke out at the top part of the country. And whenever we had a family reunion, you know, gathered together on holidays, while praying the same grace, my late grandma started crying, and my late grandpa started crying, then my father crying, and my aunts crying, uncles crying, and we crying. So I grew up with that real sense of pain that caused by this war. And I don't know all the details, but probably for the political reasons, U.S., our government has the authority to end the war, to agree to end the war. Now is the war hasn't been over yet. It's kind of breaking, kind of taking a break for 7 years. Can you imagine that? So U.S. government, our government has the authority to sign on the paper to actually end the war. But they haven't done it yet for probably political reasons. But please pray for Korea. Pray for especially those who have suffered in the north part of Korea. And please pray for our government, those who have authority and power to end the war, so that someday the Korea can be one country where God's grace and peace will be fully experienced.
Would you pray for that? Awesome. Thank you. Let us pray the prayer for our country, which can be found page 429 in our hymnal, the Navy Blue Book, the UN hymnal, page 429. Oh God, keep our whole country under your protection. Wipe our sin from this land. Lift it up from the depth of sorrow, O Lord, our shining light. Save us from deep grief and misfortune, Lord of all nations. Bless us with your wisdom, so that the poor may not be oppressed and the rich may not be oppressors. Make this a nation having no ruler except God, a nation having no authority but that of love. Amen. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us share the final peace, peace of Christ, together. Peace of Christ be with you all. Peace of Christ be with you all. Good. Awesome. I have several announcements to share with you. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Leslie, for your service this morning. We appreciate it. And thank you for joining us worshiping God this morning. We appreciate it too. And every single one of you is welcome. And especially if you would like to learn more about Community of Faith at St. Matthews, please send me an email, pastor@st-matthews.org. You can find it in the description section, on the YouTube page, and also on our church website. And send me an email, then I'd like to get connected with you, and we can walk this journey together with you. We would love to do so. And after the service, we'll have a virtual coffee hour, the fellowship time together. You can find the Zoom link above the description of a web YouTube page and also on our church website. Please join us. And last Monday, we had the reentry task force had another meeting, and we prayerfully discerned, and we decided not to require the signing in ahead of time, you know, for the in-person service. So there is no need to sign in ahead on our church website. Church website. And there are more detailed information of the updated guidelines in our weekly news. So when you receive the weekly news, you received it already. So please check it out, and it will give you more information about it. Can we acknowledge our task force members? You know, over the year, you know, these members have been doing all our best and discern and pray and make hard decisions. So can we give them a big hand? Thank you so much. Thank you so much, the coordinator, Marsha, and all the members. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. And we are planning to have a music festival in September. We don't have definite dates yet, but we'll have soon. We'll have them soon. If you, in your prayers, if you feel inspired to be part of this festival, you know, maybe you want to sing or you may want to serve, please let me know. Please send me an email, text me, or call me. So please let me know so that we can make a more concrete plan together. My siblings in Christ, It is beautiful to have this freedom. It's beautiful to acknowledge God's power to keep us free. But we all, most of us, if not all, know that phrase, freedom is not free. Remember, Jesus Christ sacrificed, died on the cross to set us free from all the slavery of sin. Now go with assurance God will be with you and find some ways to sacrifice yourself to help others feel free in Christ. Feel honored in Christ. Feel God's divine dignity in them. May the Holy Spirit enable you and empower you to join Jesus Christ in the ministry. God loves you, so do we, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen? Amen. Let us bless each other through the blessing song together.
July 4th.